This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hi again, everyone, and happy holidays to you on this very special day. And this is New Beginnings, where we really try to help you with your career, with your health, with your finance, and many areas of your life. And with us, as always, on our program is Mr. Joe McKenzie. He is the founder of Ripple Connects. They turn candidates into contenders. His telephone number is 763-438-1621. The website is rippleconnects.com. Joe McKenzie, happy holidays and good morning.
Thank you, Freddie Bell. How are you?
Unbelievable. The folks are all around here opening presents and just having a gay old time, but we are hard at work on this special day, and I'm really excited to be with you. And as we talk this morning, we're talking about setting up a checklist for the new year, and I've not heard it put that way. What do you mean setting up a checklist for the new year?
Well, we've been preparing our listeners for 2022. The two strongest hiring months of any given year are January and February. So we've dedicated some segments on how to start getting ready for those prime hiring months. And really, this is the time to make sure that you have all systems go and that you're not scrambling here. And this is let's do accountability check to make sure that the key parts of our job search are in place. And if they're not, get them ready quickly, because once again, January and February, traditionally the strongest hiring months in any given year, and we want to be ready to strike if we want to make a move.
Absolutely. Everybody, we're talking with Joe McKenzie about the job search checklist for 2022, the new year. And so what would be first? I know that we've got less than a week, actually, before New Year's Day, that Saturday, a week from today. But what should we have ready to go right now, Joe McKenzie?
We should have our LinkedIn profile updated with any current projects that we're working on, any certifications that we may have acquired through the year. We should have our resumes ready to go, different versions of skills-based targeted resumes, and do your research. Make sure that that's ready to go. Have someone take a look at it to make sure it's clear, concise, and represents you. That would be the first thing, because employers are going to be asking for resumes and employers are going to be looking at your LinkedIn profile. That is something you can do through the holidays here to make sure. Once again, update that LinkedIn profile. Get it current with everything you've been working on.
And also, go ahead. You're talking about making sure that resume and the LinkedIn profile. That made me think about making sure your technology piece is okay, too.
Yes, yes, and yes. Virtual interviews are where it's at. And if we're not comfortable doing virtual interviews, if we don't trust our technology that we have in our home, if we're not practiced enough to do a virtual interview, it's this new space for you, and that's not the time. This is now the time to consider making sure that you test your technology, that you practice a virtual interview, make sure that you have confidence that everything's going to go right, and that's on the checklist. Be ready, because those virtual interviews are going to take place, and I think they're here to stay, to be honest, Freddie. That the virtual interviews are going to have to be a key component of our comfort level in a job search.
So what are some of the key things that they would need, for example, in getting ready for a virtual job interview?
Make sure you have good sound and webcam, good background that presents you in the right light, making sure that you have good lighting, and that, more importantly, you have the confidence to deliver on that interview, much like if you were sitting across a conference table with an interview panel. Think about it that way. What is going to help you to present the right, in you yourself, in the right light? And that oftentimes is trusting your technology, happy with the way you look on camera, your lighting, your sound, your background. How do you present yourself?
All right, Joe McKenzie talking about the job search checklist for 2022. And you mentioned in the notes to me that we need to utilize the STAR method for behavioral-based interview questions. What is the STAR method, Joe McKenzie?
Well, we'll start with what a behavioral-based question is, and that is why the STAR method exists. Tell me a time that you were working in a difficult situation on a timeline or a difficult challenge. The STAR method is going to allow you to describe the situation in detail, the task or what you were tasked to do to deliver on this, the action or the A in the STAR method, the actions that you took or part of a team, and the results. I'm not trying to be silly here, but really the STAR method helps you to put a bow on your accomplishments, okay? It doesn't meander for 15 minutes. You keep to a clear, concise answer, and that's a STAR method. It's a widely used method to answer behavioral-based questions that are so commonly asked today. This would be a great weekend or week to get yourself comfortable by just Googling STAR method. Ripple Connect's website has a link to it, but knowing what the STAR method is going to clear your thoughts. It's going to fill your interview toolbox with some of your key accomplishments and how you're going to deliver on it, how you're going to answer those questions that are going to be posed to you via computer. And that's a critical step. I don't care if you've been in an industry 30 years, if you can't put together a clear, concise answer on how you delivered on those accomplishments, people will notice that. The interviews will say, well, we didn't get the answer we were looking for.
Wow. Joe McKenzie with us talking about preparing ourselves for the job search with a job search checklist for 2022. And you mentioned earlier about a plan to uncover the hidden job market. How do you do that and getting ready for 22?
Yes. Absolutely. And we've talked about the hidden job market. The hidden job market are those jobs that don't get advertised online. And if we're only looking for jobs online, they're hidden to us. They're not purposely hidden. We're just not seeing them. So everybody should have a plan to unearth some of those opportunities, because that's the hidden job market is a rich area for growth and great challenges, but you have to work it. Unearthing the hidden job market takes work, and it usually starts with being able to talk to others, your bench of career advocates, or your greater professional network, and self-market yourself on what you're trying to do. And talking about your transferable skills and planting seeds, it takes a plan and it takes time, and nothing is 100%. But I can tell you this, Freddie, if you don't have a plan to unearth the hidden job market and you don't engage with the people that you know and get the word out, more than likely the hidden job market's not going to come to you. It has to be worked. So create a plan, network, bring in your bench of career advocates, self-market yourself by planting seeds on what you want to do next. That would be my initial advice for that.
Interesting. So we want to update the resume and LinkedIn profile, prepare ourselves for the virtual job interview, and making sure that the technology is all together. Also, utilize a STAR method for behavioral-based interview questions. You just mentioned unearthing the hidden job market. And what would be the next point that you would suggest in this whole process, Joe McKenzie?
I think as we entered 2022, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, have that knowledge of how the global pandemic has changed and impacted different industries that you're targeting. If you're not current with what those challenges are and you can't speak to those challenges to these organizations and industries that are struggling, then you're not going to present yourself in the right light. You're interviewing as it was 2019, and things have changed so rapidly with staffing, supply chain, funding. You have to have that knowledge. If you're going to target an industry or a different company, you should be aware of their challenges, and you should be able to speak to how your skills, your transferable skills, your leadership, your soft skills, your teamwork is going to help overcome them. If you think it's 2019 and you're entering 2022 without that knowledge of what that industry is experiencing, then don't check that off on your checklist. You have to be ready. You have to do your research. You have to read. You have to talk to others about what they're experiencing.
Joe McKenzie, you said it well. Quickly, we only have less than a minute here, but what are the key takeaways for this week?
Key takeaways: make sure that your LinkedIn and resume are ready to go. Be prepared for virtual job interviews. Trust your technology. Be comfortable knowing what the STAR method is so you can give clear, concise answers to behavioral-based interview questions. create a plan for to unearth the hidden job market here in Minnesota, as well as gain a knowledge, new knowledge of the, how the global pandemic is impacting the industry that you're looking to go in.
Joe, you said it well. We'll leave it right there. You do some fine work at Ripple Connects.
Yes, we do, Freddie Bell. We turn candidates into contenders.
And you're listening to New Beginnings, and our program continues right now.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, RippleConnects.com.
Visit my all-new FreddieBell.com website. Get up close and personal with me as a speaker, motivator, and broadcaster. Read what others have to say when they've hired me as a keynote speaker and presenter. And learn why I'm the authority on the power of focus. Download the marketing kit or contact me directly at 888-639-9738. When you're there, stop by my all-new Freddie Bell Show webpage at FreddieBell.com. FreddieBell.com. Information, motivation, innovation, and more.
The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, Minnesota Family Investment Program, MFIP, and WIC Nutrition, along with other available programs, can help you buy food while budgets are tight. SNAP, MFIP, and WIC benefits can help families access additional support as well, including health screenings, emergency assistance, nutrition education, and employment training. Apply online at applymn.dhs.mn.gov. This message is powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Breakthrough, knowing that you can accomplish great things. That's our point of focus.
I have a great time with my life, and I want to share it.
Nowadays, a lot of people think of positivity and optimism as something unrealistic, something almost delusional.
It teaches the cultivation of peace of mind as a power center out of which comes driving energy.
This is life and enterprise management.
I love living. I think that's infectious. It's something that you can't fake.
What's the secret to any achievement? Is it wanting something enough or deserving something more than another person? It's neither one of those. You experience a true breakthrough to achievement when you're able to move past simple wanting and striving to a powerful belief that you can reach your goals. You break through the barriers of negative thinking, thinking that you can't do something or don't deserve something. You can accomplish great things. Do you want to end some negative habit or begin a positive one? Then you can. You can because you believe that you've got the power to move forward, to break through to great achievement. It's this belief that empowers you to do great things. If you'd like to learn more, all you have to do is visit me at www.freddiebell.com or call 888-639-9738. Or you can reach me by email. It's freddie@freddiebell.com. freddie@freddiebell.com.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think Real Possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/Twin Cities.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings. And let's turn our attention now again to health. And joining us right now is a senior equity advisor to the Commissioner of Health, Dr. Nathan Chomolo. And it's so good to have you back this weekend. And just want to start before we talk about Omicron, and I guess everybody is talking about that. But let's first talk about influenza and how that's impacting our communities. Good morning, and glad you're with us.
Thanks so much, Freddie, for having me, as usual. I'm glad to be back here.
So let's talk about the flu. Are we getting the flu shots at the rate that we should be in the state?
Unfortunately, we have seen a lag in influenza vaccinations this year. We're down around 20%, actually, in the number of vaccines that have been administered by this point in the flu season when we look at last flu season. And in particular for those underneath the age of 65, we see even more drops. And so really concerned because that decrease in the vaccine uptake, there's more people moving around, less people masking. We're really worried about seeing an increase in influenza cases on top of everything going on with COVID-19.
So what's your message to people who have not yet gotten a flu shot or who have never gotten a flu shot before?
You know, with the flu shot, every year my message is that we know that in particular there's certain groups in our community that are at highest risk, those under the age of 2, those over the age of 65, and it's really important that they get their flu shots and get them before we start seeing peaks in spread. But it's really important for all of us to get our flu shots to help protect those who are at highest risk, those who might not be able to get a flu shot. And really what we know that the flu shot does great of is protecting us from those most severe complications of ending up in the hospital or dying from the flu, which, you know, we do see, unfortunately, every year. And so really getting our flu shot is real important as we see cases spiking. I was in clinic last week and saw a lot of influenza in my clinic practice, the most I've seen since, you know, 2019, really. And so I really want to make sure folks know that it's out there and to get protected against that too.
All right, we will do that. We're talking with Dr. Nathan Chomolo. He is the Senior Equity Advisor to the Commissioner of Health in Minnesota. And as evidenced by the long lines that we're seeing at testing sites across the country because of the Omicron variant, people are really concerned. Yet, this holiday season, people are on the move. Has COVID moved from being the pandemic of the unvaccinated to the pandemic of those who are vaccinated because of the breakthroughs we're seeing?
Well, you know me, Freddie, that I've never really cared for the pandemic of the unvaccinated because the unvaccinated includes so many who can't get a vaccine, like some of our children now underneath age of 5 still, those who don't respond to the vaccine because of immunosuppression or other illnesses. And so I've always felt that, you know, when we aren't having all of our community immunity, we're all being impacted by it. But, you know, to your kind of broader point, what we are seeing with Omicron is that there are a lot of these, you know, mild cases for folks who are vaccinated. And so even if you're getting back, you got your first initial series and you get a booster, there is a chance that you'll get COVID, but it'll likely be mild. That's not the case, and you know, really for those who are unvaccinated or even for those who've had a previous form of COVID and haven't got a vaccine yet to booster and bolster their immunity. We're seeing that, you know, those folks are still at risk for some of the more severe outcomes. And so yeah, Omicron landing just means that I think we all need to think about those other ways to help protect ourselves, whether it's be masking, avoiding crowds if we don't need to be in them. Certainly, if we are having any symptoms, staying home and helping, you know, not only recover ourselves, but protect others from the spread of this new variant.
Based on what you're saying, that the people who are getting these breakthroughs is not as severe or it's not as difficult as the Delta variant. But it also seems as if you're saying that the vaccines are doing their jobs in keeping people out of the hospital and dying from COVID-19.
Yeah, and I'll really reiterate that point that the folks that have these milder cases of Omicron are the folks that are vaccinated. Mm-hmm. If you're unvaccinated or if you had, you know, a previous version of COVID, and you haven't gotten your vaccine, you know, you are still very much at risk of a severe case. So the vaccines, yeah, are doing their job of protecting us from the worst outcomes, making us so that even if we do end up with Omicron, we are hopefully having a milder illness and that it's a shorter illness. But that's, again, you know, we're still learning a lot. And so that's not, you know, set in stone. And we do see folks that, you know, have done that and still do get sick. And so I think that's why thinking of those other ways of protecting oneself besides a vaccine that are really easy, masking, avoiding those, you know, crowds, particularly if you're having any symptoms, you know, being in communication with each other around the holidays, around if you're having symptoms, testing before you're getting together, all those things I think we need to be making sure we're doing to stay safe this holiday season.
So what can people do once they're diagnosed as having Omicron or Delta, they've been vaccinated, what can they do to get over this? What is the treatment process?
Yeah, I think also important to note that most people, when they do get diagnosed with COVID, don't know what type of variant or strain they have. Mm-hmm. That's something that's done in a kind of population level. But you, if you ask your doctor, they're not going to be able to tell you if it was Delta or Omicron or a different variant of COVID. And so once you've been diagnosed with COVID, there are, if you're at high risk, and so there's certain chronic conditions like diabetes, obesity, sickle cell, things like that, where you're at a higher risk of complications, you can seek treatments like the monoclonal antibodies that are offered through state sites and other health care sites. There's a website, MNRAP, M-N-R-A-P. If you Google that, you can go in and try to access monoclonal antibodies to that. That's been shown to be helpful for keeping folks out of the hospital. There's talk about pills coming down the line. There's none yet ready or available, but we're hoping in the next month or so that those will be options for folks to seek out, and we'll be happy to come back and share information when that's the case. But then otherwise, it's a lot of, you know, symptomatic cares, rest, fluids, and really isolation, making sure that you're doing your best to protect others around you.
Let's talk about the isolation. There's a big chasm between the people who have insurance and those who don't. You're talking about isolating. But what about that mom who cannot isolate for 10 days because she doesn't have health insurance? And if she stays away from the office, there are no benefits. She could stand to lose her job. What do you say to those individuals?
That's tough. And that's something that we've been trying to, you know, improve throughout the pandemic, you know, for since March of 2020. Anyone who is on our Medicaid programs or our Minnesota Care programs or public insurance programs, they haven't been asked to kind of re-verify their eligibility. They've been able to stay on no matter changes in employment or income or things like that, in an effort to avoid exactly what you're describing there. And for those who still find themselves in that gap and aren't able to get coverage, you know, the things you can do are trying to mask when you're at home, trying to talk to your employer about what offer benefits might be available to you. The federal government has offered support to employers and businesses for pay time off, sick leave, to try to help encourage employers to offer that to their employees so that they can stay home and recover and decrease the risk of spreading COVID during the pandemic. And so there are different options out there for folks, but it is really challenging. We haven't gotten down perfectly yet, and so unfortunately that does happen.
Dr. Chomala, I only have a few seconds left. Will COVID be with us for the rest of our lives for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, I don't have that crystal ball to say the rest of our lives, but, you know, certainly the foreseeable future. I think, you know, we've talked a couple times, Freddie, about the you know, vaccine inequity globally and how until we're all out of the pandemic, we're all going to be in the pandemic. And that's because when these variants pop up in places where there's been lots of spread because of a lot of access to lack of access to vaccine or low uptake of vaccine, then variants can emerge and they reset the game for us in certain ways. Not all the way back to where we were in March and April of 2020, but they definitely, as you are seeing with Omicron, reset the game in several ways. And so we really need to do our best to, you know, protect ourselves, get our immunity up, and then really do our best to lead the world in getting out of this. But yeah, for the foreseeable future, we're in it.
Well said. That's Dr. Nathan Chomalo. He is the Senior Equity Advisor to the Commissioner of Health for Minnesota, and you're listening to New Beginnings.
You would do anything to protect the ones you love. Help make sure your child is protected from dangerous diseases by getting them vaccinated. Talk to your child's doctor about staying on track with recommended vaccines during this COVID-19 pandemic.
This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
If you're ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. Visit RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. Go to RippleConnects.com.
Introducing the New Beginnings Podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. check out the new New Beginnings podcast today.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi, everybody. I'm Freddie Bell, and welcome back to New Beginnings. It's hard to resist the holiday messaging to buy gifts and lots of them to make the season brighter and more fulfilling. However, supply chain disruptions may make this year's shopping stressful, especially for parents looking to buy toys in short supply. Shortages aside, going overboard on gifts for your kids could create budget stress and set unrealistic expectations for years to come. A budget is critical to keeping spending in check. If you're struggling to figure out a realistic holiday budget, review previous year's spending. You can literally pull up your credit card statements from last November and December if you want to get a general sense of where your money went. That according to Andrea Warrock, a money-saving expert focusing on advice for mothers. She says contemplate whether you want to repeat that spending pattern or if it left you stressed when January rolled around. She says things get lost in overflowing toy boxes. Taking inventory of what you already have is a great way to figure out what your kids need and an opportunity to set aside items they've outgrown. Items in good condition, she says, can be donated or sold in online marketplaces to other parents looking to catch a deal. Gifts bought weeks or even months ago may have fallen off your radar, especially if you have hidden them well. Before hitting the stores, make a list of previous purchases. I know that Christmas Day is today or this weekend if you're listening, but this is good news for years to come and even for holidays and birthdays. If you're not writing down what you bought, you're going to forget what you had, says Warrock, who suggests using an app called Santa's Bag. Although a note on your phone or old-fashioned pen and paper can work just as well. Tracking purchases throughout the season can help prevent overspending. Another strategy is buying fewer toys and focusing on what supports your child's development, which is especially important for younger children. Catherine Humphreys, an assistant professor in Vanderbilt's University Department of Psychology and Human Development, is suggesting finding toys that allow collaboration and open-ended play. Warrock suggests purchasing a subscription box for kids for a gift that keeps on giving after the holidays are well over. She says there are tons of options for kids that deliver everything from art projects and diverse books every month. Some of these services might be running holiday specials, so be on the lookout for a deal. It's hard for parents to resist comparing themselves to others, especially when social media feeds are overloaded with holiday photos. Just remember, you don't know what's going on behind the scenes, and now that the holidays are almost completely behind us, this is a good time to take stock of your spending. And speaking of spending, fear of empty shelves coupled with hope for quick holiday hack will drive shoppers to grab bunches of gift cards in the next few days. While gift cards might be simple to buy, though, there are plenty of gotchas to consider along the way, and yes, warnings about crime rings running scams. Like what happens if the money isn't actually on the card when you try to buy something with it? About 21% of consumers reported that they have given or received a gift card with no money on it, that according to a AARP survey of adult consumers. To be sure, some flaky friend could have just given you a gift card that may have forgotten that she used a year ago, or maybe that card may not have been activated properly by the retailer, or you might have ended up the victim of a scam. Sophisticated scam rings know how to quickly wipe a card clean and gain access to that cash shortly after the card is purchased by a shopper and activated, that according to Kathy Stokes, who is Director of Fraud Protection for AARP. Gift cards can be tampered with at the store, she says, by crooks who grab stacks of cards, remove the security tape from each card, and then take photos or write down the card's secret 16-digit activation code. Many times, the cards don't look like they've been tampered with because new security tape is placed on them. But consumers are warned nonetheless to be on the lookout for signs that someone damaged the card's packaging. The bad actors, Stokes says, are able to use technology to monitor when the compromised cards are activated. And soon after money is loaded onto the card, the scammers will use the activation code to steal the money. As soon as that card hits the cash register, They're pinged, she says. The value of the card can end up being drained by an outsider without ever leaving your hands. Crooks steal money from gift cards in two ways. One, you could unknowingly be a victim when you buy a compromised card. Two, scammers often impersonate big-name companies or federal agencies as they target their victims. The card artists give you some elaborate song and dance, say, frightening you into thinking that you didn't pay your taxes, to drive you to put money on gift cards to solve looming problems. About 1 in 4 people who report losing money to fraud, according to the Federal Trade Commission, say it happened when a scammer tricked them into giving the numbers on the back of a gift card. During the first 9 months of this year, nearly 40,000 consumers reported losing what adds up to about $148 million in scams where gift cards were used, that according to a new report by the Federal Trade Commission. Oddly enough, Target is a big name that's popping up. The FTC noted that the scammers are increasingly demanding Target gift cards, which proved to be the most popular choice based on reports received by the FTC during the first 9 months of this year. Target gift cards accounted for about $35 million in payments to scammers, the FTC says, more than twice as many as any other brand of gift cards. The median amount lost when consumers paid with Target gift cards was $2,500, and 30% of people who paid with a Target card say they lost $5,000 or more. Target says in a statement that it has increased in-store signage to warn customers of common gift card scams and educated employees to keep an eye out for potentially distressed guests buying gift cards and intervene as needed. We also continue to implement new technology, they say, to prevent gift cards from being abused by fraudsters. According to the FTC, scammers are demanding specific gift cards, Target, Google Play gift cards, followed by Apple, eBay, and Walmart cards. Scammers often direct their victims to specific stores to buy these gift cards, Target, Walmart, Best Buy, CVS's, and Walgreens. Anytime someone demands that you pay for something with a gift card, Stokes says beware because it's almost 100% certain that it's a scam. You're listening to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell. So glad you're with us on this holiday weekend. Keep listening. We have more to come right here. Stay with us.
Minneapolis Public Housing is right now on New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings. Great conversations this week. And with us to continue in that vein is the property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, Kitty Harris, joining us this week on the heels of a busy, busy week at the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. Good morning.
Good morning, Freddie. How are you?
Unbelievable. And happy holidays to you and your family and all the fine folks at Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center.
Thank you. Same to you.
Thank you so much. You've had vaccine clinics. You've had food distributions. Walk us through that.
Yeah, so the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center has been very busy this holiday season, working with our amazing community partners. And this past week, we worked with a familiar partner, Neighborhood Health Source, who actually used to be housed in the Cora McCorvey Health and Center and has multiple locations throughout the Twin Cities area. We worked in partnership with Neighborhood Health Source, the Asian Media Access, and the Chinese American Chamber of Commerce to provide vaccine clinics both for North and South Minneapolis. And we were able to give booster shots to over 350 individuals. And all of the individuals that came to our clinics also got $50 gift cards to Target.
That's a big deal. 300 people, that is a really successful booster clinic.
Yes, it was very amazing. What we did, because, you know, it's the holiday season and we always want to make sure that we're doing our part to give back. And so we, in conjunction with our booster clinics, we also were hosting Toys for Tots drives. And so we had over 200 families that was able to get toys for their families, both on the north and south side. And in addition to providing family, we also had a food distribution clinic because we do know that, you know, it's the cost of food is very high. And a lot of areas where low-income people dwell, there is a food desert. And so we just wanted to do our part this holiday season to help to work with our community partners to bridge that gap.
So a food distribution, Toys for Tots, I'm sure there are a lot of collaborative partners who came together to make sure that these events went off without a hitch.
Yes, we could not do it without the work of the community. Our MPHA staff that came in on the weekend to help get these things done. And again, like I said, Neighborhood Health Source really was a gem. And having their staff be present to give out these shots, as well as the Hennepin County medical department was there. And it just a big community effort, knowing how important this holiday season is, this variant continues to mutate, that we're making sure that we're giving people access to their COVID-19 vaccines and or their boosters.
I know you're thinking ahead to 2022. You're always a planner. What can we look forward to from the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center as we open 2022?
As we move forward to 2022, which sounds so funny to just say, I'm thinking we will actually be celebrating 10 years of being open as a center. And so, we would normally have a really big party and invite all of the local dignitaries and different things like that. And obviously, we're still trying to plan something, but with this variant, we don't know how much we can really do, but we'll be celebrating 10 years of being open to the community. We look forward to continuing to host our monthly sing out event on the second Monday of every month with Alive and Kicking. We look forward to bringing bingo back, which is a big community ask. And we look forward to continuing to offer things like flu shot clinics, COVID vaccine clinics, blood drives, those things that are very important for the community as we continue to focus on our health and wellness.
Kitty Harris, I can't thank you enough for not only what you share with us over the air, but what you and the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center does for our communities. Thank you so much, and Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you, Freddie. Merry Christmas.
That's Kitty Harris, and this is New Beginnings.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi, everybody. I'm Freddie Bell, and this is Appointed Listening each weekend right here on New Beginnings. And let's talk about solving the mystery of COVID's origins. How did it start? Well, there are some scientists who are keeping a focus on animals as the source to help ward off new viruses. Nearly 2 years into the COVID-19 pandemic, the origin of the virus still is a mystery and is really difficult to unpeel. Many scientists believe it emerged in the wild and jumped from bats to humans, either directly or through other animals. Others theorize it escaped from a Chinese lab. Now, with the global COVID-19 death toll surpassing 5.2 billion on the second anniversary of the earliest human cases, a growing chorus of scientists is trying to keep the focus on what they regard as the more plausible zoonotic or animal-to-human theory, in the hope that what's learned will help humankind fend off new viruses and variants. The lab leak scenario gets a lot of attention. That, according to University of Utah scientist Stephen Goldstein, who with 20 others wrote an article in the journal entitled Cell in August, and it laid out evidence for animal origin of the virus. Michael Worobi, an evolutionary biologist at the University of Arizona who contributed to the article, says he's always thought zoonotic transmission was more likely than a lab leak, but had signed a letter with other scientists last spring saying that both theories were viable. Since then, he is saying that his own and others' research has made him even more confident about the animal hypothesis, which is just way more supported by the data, he says. Just last month, Worobi published a COVID-19 timeline and is linking the first known human case to the Hunan seafood wholesale market in Wuhan, China, where live animals were sold. Scientists in the article say that SARS-CoV-2, which causes COVID-19, is the 9th documented coronavirus to infect humans. All previous ones originated. That includes the virus that caused the 2003 SARS epidemic, which also has been associated with markets selling live animals in China. Many researchers believe wild animals were intermediate hosts for SARS-CoV-2, which means they were infected with a bat coronavirus that then evolved. Scientists have been looking for the exact bat coronavirus involved, and in September identified three viruses in bats in Laos more similar to SARS-CoV-2 than any known viruses. Werobe suspects raccoon dogs were their intermediate host. The fox-like mammals are susceptible to coronaviruses and were being sold live at the Hunan market, he says. The gold standard piece of evidence for an animal origin would be an infected animal from there, he says. But as far as we know, that market has been cleared out. Keep listening. We have more to come right here. Stay with us.
You would do anything to protect the ones you love. Help make sure your child is protected from dangerous diseases by getting them vaccinated. Talk to your doctor or clinic today about the vaccines your child needs and the safety measures they have in place to protect your family during COVID-19. Go to health.mn.us/immunize for more. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
As New Beginnings continues, we now take you to the spirituality portion of our program, where we introduce the senior minister of Unity South Twin Cities, the Reverend James Stacy. We now join Reverend Stacy with a program already in progress.
But then I realized it was the power of faith that said, Emmanuel, God with us, a faith in life, that however my illness turned out, I would never be alone. God with us. I would have a physical healing, or I would leave this life and still know that I was in the embrace of God. To me, that is faith. Hope is a strong desire that some good will come about. Faith is the trust that we are on an ever-advancing spiritual path, as Catherine Ponder described it, an upward progressive spiritual path in this life and even when we lay this body down. Our spirit is not forsaken. It is carried forward, ever upward, by that realization, God with us. Even our naive hope for future good must develop within us a true faith. Charles, as I said, described faith as a perceiving power of the mind. In simpler words, faith is our developed spiritual skill to bring good into our world, but first to see it with our mind's eye, before there's any physical evidence, to really believe in it. We can recall the words of Jesus speaking of prayer. If you pray believing you have already received, then it will come to you in an outer way. If you have faith that God's good, God's life, God's power, God's truth, God's love, God's wisdom is already under your Christmas tree. Our hope will naturally grow into a mature faith if we give attention to the processes of our soul and truly want the greatest Christmas gift possible. God's best, the Son Spirit, the ideal of life, the Christ. The formula for us to follow is to begin with that simple hope for a greater good in our lives, and then to maintain an expectancy that good will appear in the right time and in the right way for us. But faith sees it before it's wrapped and placed under the tree. Faith knows God with us. God wants the greatest good for us. The indwelling Christ will guide us on our unique path if we pay attention, if we focus on that truth in our lives. Last week, we finished up our series of lessons on the keys to the kingdom. In the kingdom of God that Jesus said the Father gladly gives us is a realm of potential, all possibility. But it is our responsibility to use our spiritual powers, our faith, to create good in our life, our community, our world. So I invite you now to join me for a moment in silent reflection. So make yourself comfortable. Close your eyes as you choose. And receive this poem or meditative verse. And let it create a scene before you. Thou mothering earth has received the live seed into the dark, good shelter of soil. The mantle of night thrown wide over us, and the sun, as it goes its swift and short journey, speaks to our heart in warning and promise. Earth has borne the footsteps of Mary, journeying patiently southwards to Bethlehem. And yet today the earth bears us. Today in our striving that we may bring forth Christ in our spirit, so we may await the Holy Child sent by God, the healer and bringer into our being of love without fail. As God's creation, I am not limited to the withering nature of earth as winter approaches. The nights grow longer and colder. However, my spiritual nature is an everlasting light that shall never fail to inspire hope, establish peace, radiate love, express joy. With great expectation, I wait in hope for the birth of the Holy Child. I realize God's perfect, original idea of life is my central truth, my spiritual nature. And as we enter a moment in silence, hold the thought of that name given to the Holy Child, Emmanuel, and realize it means God with us. Father, Mother God, the spiritual source of our life, our very existence. On this Advent journey into the Christmas idea, we first allow hope to be kindled in our heart, an ever-warming presence of expectancy. I hope for ever greater good in my life, my community, my world. And I know through spiritual power that that hope will mature into a faith that sees in the mind's eye without doubt with us. We are never alone. What a wonderful gift this very Christmas. Thanks be to God that it is so. And we say Amen.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the Senior Minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
RippleConnects.com, connecting you to your better future. Hi, I'm Joe McKenzie, founder of Ripple Connects and trainer of Ripple Effect Networking. Establishing and maintaining a strong professional network is critical to you and your organization's success. My techniques will help you stand out so you can create new sales opportunities, develop and sustain meaningful connections, grow your franchise or small business. If you want to schedule Joe McKenzie to speak to your organization, email me, joe.mckenzie@rippleconnects.com. Your network plus my techniques equals more success for you.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. This is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.